Somewhere down the road growing up in church, I missed out on this one. Okay, I don't know why, but I learned it probably 10 years ago, and it changed everything for me. Okay, and I'll kind of explain why. All right, but let's turn to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. And those of you that's read Romans, you know the Apostle Paul, he was explaining justification, kind of started hitting on it in chapter 3, chapter 4, chapter 5, maybe a little bit in chapter 6, okay, but we're gonna look mainly at chapter 5. We'll look at chapter 3, a couple verses, one verse in chapter 3 and one verse in chapter 4. So justification, what is justification? Okay, there's, you guys have heard the term or the definition, just as if I've never sinned. I don't know if that is the encyclopedia or you look up the dictionary or whatever, if that's the exact terminology. But justification means God looks at us. When we got saved, we got justified in Christ. So it's a legal terminology. So if we were to stand before the Lord in the hypothetical court of God, and we had to stand before God, and we're going to be declared innocent or guilty. All right, those of us that are in Christ that have been saved, we have been declared innocent in the eyes of God, even though we're what? We're guilty. We're all guilty. We're all sinners. But thank the Lord, He's given us a free gift. Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. And we believe that and we accept that in our lives. In His court, in the legal court of God, we've been declared innocent. So if you think about justification, just think about being innocent in the eyes of God. Now, if you think about that right there by itself, all this doctrine has to do with how God views you. Okay? If I was to ask the average Christian, how do you think God views you? Do you think He views you highly? Do you think He views you poorly? Most Christians would say, He probably ain't too happy with me right now. Okay? Well, they're talking about their lifestyle. They're talking about their works. They're talking about their sanctification. All right? But how does He view you in Christ? If we turn to Ephesians chapter 1, you're gonna start seeing the terminology in Christ, in Christ, in Christ. So when we got saved, we got placed in Christ. Christ was perfect. Christ was pure. Christ was holy. Okay? So all those attributes were given to us positionally in Christ. Okay? That doesn't mean you're holy in your lifestyle, okay? We're trying to become holier. We're trying to become more pure in our thoughts and our actions and all this kind of stuff. But this right here, so this is talking about positional, okay? So justification, if you see declared innocent, God looks at you in Christ. And I'm going to show you on the next page in just a minute. I'm going to show you kind of what that looks like. When God views a child of God, if you're saved, He views you in Christ. Okay? He does not view you. He does not see you. He sees you in Christ. He's placed you in Christ. So that means you've been declared innocent in his court. All right? That is a positional position in Christ. It's a legal term. It has to do with Christ's righteousness. You all know what righteousness means. Righteousness just means being right. You need righteousness in order to get to heaven. Well, you don't need your righteousness. Your righteousness is as filthy rags, as Isaiah says. Your righteousness can be good one day and not so good the next day, okay? Your righteousness, the righteousness that God needed to accept you, had to be 100% perfect, okay? Well, you're not capable of that, and I'm not capable of that. But Jesus lived that perfect, sinless life in whom God was well pleased. And it's His righteousness. We are given, when we get saved, we are given the righteousness of Christ. Okay? And that's what we live in. That's what we walk in. So it's His righteousness that gives us these next few things here. You see acceptance, approval, access, forgiveness, and worthiness. Okay? So you say it like this. You know, there's many Christians who live their life every day trying to earn God's acceptance. Well, in Christ, you've already been given His acceptance. All right, many Christians on a daily basis, they're trying to earn God's approval. Well, in Christ, you've already been given approval from God. You don't have to work for it. You don't have to strive for it. Now I'm going to explain. Don't call me a heretic just off the bat here, okay? I'm going to explain all this here and just bring it together. Access. You have in Christ, you have unlimited access to the Father. You don't have to earn it. What do most people do? Most people sin and they run and hide from God, just like Adam and Eve did in the garden, okay? Because they think their access to God depends on them. So they sin, they don't feel worthy, they don't feel like they can pray, they don't feel like they can read their Bible, they don't feel like they can approach God, so they run and hide in their, which they don't really go anywhere, but in their heart and in their mind, they run and hide from God. They don't talk to Him for days and weeks until they think in their mind, okay, I've been good enough, now I can approach God in prayer and ask God to forgive me and that kind of stuff. That's backwards. Okay, your access to the Father does not depend on you. Jesus Christ gives you access to the Father. Jesus Christ gives you your worthiness to the Father. Your worthiness is in Christ. You and me are not worthy. We're not worthy of anything. But Jesus gives us our worthiness. Okay, how does a preacher have the ability to stand up and preach? There's no preacher that's perfect, guys. And I know we put them on a pedestal and all this, and we say, well, they're really holy and all this kind of stuff. And yes, we hope they are. But they might be 99.95% holy, okay? But they're not going to be 100%. Their worthiness is in Christ. Your worthiness is in Christ. Your worthiness and ability to pray is in Christ. It's not based on you, okay? Jesus gives you the worthiness. I remember years ago, this is kind of back when I was first learning this. We had a man come up, and we were doing testimonies. And people would come up here, and they would give their testimonies. And they would usually walk up here, and they'd stand behind here, and they'd give a testimony. Well, I remember one night, one man, he came down to give his testimony. He says, I'm not going up there. I'm not worthy. He kind of looked at this stage, looked at this pulpit as something that he's not worthy for. You know what I thought in that moment? I was like, he don't understand justification. He don't understand his worthiness is in Christ. None of us are worthy. None of us are worthy to do anything. But our worthiness is in Jesus Christ. Jesus gives us that worthiness. So let's look at Romans chapter 5, verse 1 says, therefore, now who's he talking to? He's talking to the church at Rome. He's talking to Christians. He's talking to you and me. He says, therefore, being justified by faith. Being justified by faith, being declared innocent, being declared righteous in the eyes of God. How? Through your faith, not through your works, not through earning it. Here we go. We have peace with God. How? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. And I always ask the teenagers, I say, when I say we have peace with God, that word have is that past, present, or future. If you wonder, it's present, obviously. Thank you for whoever answered. We have peace with God currently, right now. Do you think all the Christians at this church where this letter was being written to, do you think they were all mature Christians? No, they weren't. Just like our church, we've got mature Christians, we've got immature Christians. And we have grace towards one another. We give people time to grow. We give people time to mature, you know. And so he was talking to them about a positional identity in Christ to where he's saying, you currently have peace with God. God's at peace with you, right? It's not dependent on how you feel. It's not about how close you feel to God. It's a positional thing that God is at peace with you because He's clothed you in the righteousness of Christ. And that is what satisfies His wrath. His wrath has been satisfied. His wrath will never be poured out on you. Just like Brother Tommy's preaching this morning, there's no condemnation for those that are in Christ, okay? Does that mean you can go and sin and do whatever you want and everything's going to work? No. If you learn this doctrine and you come to that conclusion, you have not learned this doctrine. You've got something off. But what you're going to see here is, as Paul had to address that same question because he's explaining it in Romans 3, Romans 4, Romans 5, and all of y'all know that when he gets to Romans 6, verse 1, he says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? He says, God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? So he's telling you, no, it doesn't mean you can just sin and do whatever you want to do. But do you still have all these things? You know, do you still have all this? If you sin, do you still have God's acceptance positionally in Christ? If you sin, yes. Do you still have his approval in Christ? Yes. Do you still have access to him? Yes. Do you still have forgiveness? Yes. Do you still have worthiness? Yes. Okay. Positionally in Christ. Okay. Now I'll explain a little bit more here in a minute. All right. Here's the next thing. This is what this looks like. I've showed this to the teenagers for years. All right. So you see you in the middle. All right. So let's pretend for a moment this outer circle is not there. And you don't see Christ's blood, you don't see Christ's righteousness on there. It's just you and sin. The dark circle is, you know, sin is ugly. Sin is dark. Sin is black, okay? So there you go. So the outside circle is not there. You got God here looking at you. In that position, without Christ surrounding you, he can't have anything to do with you. God is, you put the attributes of God up there. He's holy, he's righteous, he's pure, he's blameless, and all these things. We are exactly 100% the opposite of that, okay? But when we got saved, we got covered in the blood of Christ. The blood of Christ, like I said, satisfies the wrath of God. And then we got clothed in the righteousness of Christ. So this is a picture of justification. Now this is important because you need to wake up every day and remind yourself, God sees me in Christ. He's not relating to me based on me. Okay? This is a grace covenant. This isn't the Old Testament law. Okay? We're not being compared by the law. We're being compared by Christ. Do you have Christ representing you or not? And that's it. Okay? And so you know, if you're always focused on doing good or doing bad, if you're always focused on not doing this and doing that, sanctification, if you're always focused on that and you don't ever learn something like this, then your sanctification is going to go out the window. If you always view yourself as an old, dirty, rotten sinner, you're always going to be an old, dirty, rotten sinner. Okay, you have to see yourself this way. This has to do with your identity in Christ. You're a new person. You're a new creation. This is part of what that means. You're a new man. You're a new creation. God sees you in Christ. Okay, and all those things that I was showing you there are a part of that. Okay, the Christ righteousness, the acceptance, the approval, the access, the forgiveness, the worthiness. Okay, so it does me good. I hope it does you good. To know I don't have to live every day working for his acceptance. I don't have to work every day earning his approval or access, forgiveness, and worthiness, okay? Now let me ask you a question. Do you know people who are like that, though? You may have had a mom or a dad that you had to earn their acceptance your whole life. You hear stories about that. Now if you've had a good upbringing, mom and dad who knew God and lived it at home and understood the attributes of God, okay, then they gave you that unconditional love. Not conditional love. We've had people in our life who's given us conditional love, right? They'll love you and approve of you as long as you do and say exactly what they think you should do and say. Okay? A lot of people think that's who God is. That's not who God is. God loves you despite of you. God loves you just because you're his children. What kind of parent doesn't love their children? What kind of parent doesn't accept their children? What kind of parent doesn't approve of their children? What kind of parent doesn't allow their children to have unlimited access to them? Okay? What kind of parent doesn't give forgiveness to their children when their children do wrong? And now listen, discipline is a part of this. Okay? I'm not sitting here saying God never disciplines us. A godly parent disciplines their children, and they're not afraid to do so, but they do it in love, okay? So I would say this, if a parent disciplined their children, but they didn't accept them and didn't give them approval and access and forgiveness and all that, then that's not a healthy relationship between the parent and the child, okay? We all know that children do better in environments where they get that love and approval and acceptance from their mom and dad. We all know that. where they don't have to wake up every day and wonder, well, does my mom love me? And there's some kids that have that. Maybe you had that growing up. Does my mom love me? I never had to question, does my mom and dad love me? Do you know what? That gave me a better foundation to live my life. Well, some Christians have that belief with God. They think, well, I don't know if God really loves me that much. I don't know if He likes me that much. I don't know if He really accepts me. I don't know if He really approves of me. I don't know if I really have access. You hear Christians talk about how we build this wall between us and God. That's the worst theology you'll ever hear in your life. You don't build a wall with your sin between you and God. Okay, if I had someone up here right now, I'd put someone right here and someone right here. Put God right here and one of us right here. And when we get saved, God faces towards us. Okay, and if we're over here, I did this in the youth group the other night. Had Becca, she was the human. Abigail played God. Okay, and I clothed them both in the righteousness of Christ. Okay, had a little white sheet. When I told him this, I said, you know, God, when you get saved, God faces towards you permanently. He never turns His back on you. The Bible says He'll never leave you nor forsake you. When we're living our life and we're walking with the Lord and we're seeking Him and we're pursuing Him and we're enjoying a relationship with Him, but then we decide to get our focus off God and get it on sin, what we do is we the love and affection we should have towards the Father, we turn our back on God and put it on that sin. So that's where the fellowship breaks, okay? Sin breaks the fellowship between us and the Father because we did it, not because of Him. He's still standing here ready and willing to fellowship. He wants to fellowship with us way more than we want to fellowship with Him. So He's still ready. But we get our love and affection on the world and the things of the world, and therefore we don't have the peace and the joy in our hearts and the love in our heart for the Lord. We put our love and affection on the things of the world. We're not seeking the Lord anymore. But what I'm saying is this, is if you've got a wrong belief and understanding about God, if you don't understand that your father, your dad, loves you unconditionally, loves you despite of you, and if you think He loves you conditionally, then it's going to be a lot harder for you when you're out here living in sin. It's going to be a lot harder for you to come back to Him because you're going to think, I've got to earn my way back to God through my good works. Now, none of us believe in works-based salvation, but a lot of you probably believe in works-based relationship, honestly. You believe in a performance-based, you may not say it that way, but you believe I have to be good to earn my way back to God, into God's good graces. And that's exactly opposite of what the Bible says. The Bible says, come boldly to the throne of grace. When we sin, He says, come boldly. He doesn't say, earn your way hesitantly back to Him. He says, come boldly. Now, how can I come boldly? I'm not worthy, but I'm worthy in Christ. Christ gives me the worthiness to come boldly back to the Father, okay? And restore my relationship and my intimacy with Him. So what I'm saying is this. This is your positional relationship in Christ. Positional means the Father's looking at you and you are His child. You're His son or His daughter. When you sin, that doesn't change. You don't stop being His son or His daughter. Okay? It stays. When you sin, He doesn't stop loving you. When you sin, He doesn't stop approving of you in Christ. Now, Look, we displease the Lord just like your mom and dad. We disappoint our mom and dads when we sin. We disappoint the Father when we sin. But positionally, we are still in a relationship of a parent-child relationship. And that's how God wants us to view our relationship with Him. Is He's given that earthly example as a heavenly example. We need to relate to the Father as a father, okay, and that we're His children. This is important because you need to have that foundation to know God is on my side. That's His default. It doesn't mean He approves of every little thing in your life, okay? But do you approve of every little thing in everybody else's life? You know, parents, do you always approve of all the little decisions and things that your children make? No, but you still unconditionally love them. You still unconditionally accept them, approve of them. You still give them the access. You still forgive them. At least you should, okay? And I believe this. Godly parents who understand this can give this to their children. Godly teachers in the church or preachers or whoever that understand this can give this to the people. But when I was a youth pastor early on and I didn't understand this, I was more of a Pharisaical type person. I hate to admit it, but I approved more of the kids that I thought deserved it. Okay, but that was my understanding of God. And as I learned this, I was able to say, you know what, I can approve and love every single person in my youth group, no matter where they are. Just because I approve of them doesn't mean I'm condoning their life. Doesn't mean I'm saying that your sin is okay. That's not what I'm saying. Okay? And just like positionally in Christ, you have God's acceptance, but that doesn't mean He's condoning your sin. It doesn't mean that everything that goes on in your life is okay. But I'm just saying you need to understand that you have these things, okay? All right, so you got that. So what I would say is this. To totally understand this doctrine, you need to realize, you need to think this way, that when God looks at me, He sees Jesus. He don't see me. And you need to be thankful for that. Because I don't care who you are. If you're the holiest of holies in this church, you still need this. Because you're not holy enough. Okay? And so, I don't know about you, but to me, this makes me feel good. Okay? To know that God sees me in Christ, and that's just a blessing. Now, what this will do, all right, turn to Romans chapter 3. What this keeps from happening is us being puffed up with pride, thinking that, hey, I'm a godly person because, you know, I'm better than you, I sin less than you, and all this kind of stuff. So I am more worthy, all right? I should be more honored and respected and all this kind of stuff. That's a Pharisaical mindset, okay? So when the Apostle Paul was trying to teach this, he look at verse 27, chapter 3, verse 27. He says, where is boasting then? Asking the question. It is excluded by what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. He's telling them, he says, when you understand you've been justified by faith, you can't boast about it. You can't be puffed up with pride about it. Okay? The most sanctified person in this church, you can't be puffed up with pride about it. If you are, you're not sanctified, or you're not sanctified very much, okay? Then look at 4:2, chapter 4, verse 2. For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, which means boast, but not before God. So he's saying the same thing. Even Abraham couldn't boast before God because his righteousness was in Christ. It wasn't Abraham's righteousness. It was Abraham had the same righteousness we all had to have, which is Jesus' righteousness. He was justified by Christ. Okay? So that speaks to worthiness. So those of you that don't feel worthy, should make you feel good. Say, my worthiness is in Christ. Christ gives me the ability to pray to God and approach God every day. Christ gives me the ability to teach a Sunday school class. My worthiness is in Christ. I'm not personally worthy. You're not personally worthy, but our worthiness is in Christ, all right? So, now, to show you a little difference between justification and sanctification, justification is the positional righteousness. Sanctification is the practical righteousness, your lifestyle, okay? So, the technical term is being set apart. When you got saved, you started on your sanctification process, okay? Now, as all of us, we were babes, we were immature when we got saved. When you've been saved 10 years, you ought to be different. You ought to be more sanctified. You ought to be more mature, okay? Apostle Paul, in some of his letters, he was getting upset. He said, some of y'all that are still being taught, by now you ought to be teachers. Well, how do you get sanctified? Through your works? Through your performance? No. You get sanctified through truth. You get sanctified through your knowledge of Christ. Okay, and I'll show you that scripture here in a minute. Well, go ahead and turn there. 1 Thessalonians 5. I think that's it'll be the next one. 1 Thessalonians 5. Is it bad when the preacher can't find the verse? Found it. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23 says, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." So sanctification is talking about your performance, your works here on this earth, okay? So when you got saved, God set you apart from the world unto good works, okay? So it's talking about practical lifestyle. It's a process. It takes time, and that's where the grace comes in, where we give each other grace, okay? When we see immaturity in amongst us in different members, we give each other grace. And that doesn't mean we don't have to rebuke sometimes. We rebuke in love, but at the same time, we love those people, okay? Sanctification has to do with your righteousness. Sanctification has to do with your purity, my purity. Sanctification has to do with my holiness and your holiness. And then we hear the term about becoming more like Christ, becoming Christ-like. That's sanctification, okay? So let's turn to John 17:17. John chapter 17:17. And this is the verse I was telling you about. How do we become sanctified? How do we become sanctified? And I think many times as Christians, we think it's just trying real hard, gritting our teeth, trying to avoid sin, and all this kind of stuff. If you want to overcome sin, do you know what you need to focus on? God, Jesus. You don't need to focus on that sin. You don't need to be thinking, oh man, next time I'm not going to do it. Next time I'm going to be a nice person. Next time I'm going to really shut my mouth and not say what I wanted to say. No, no, no. Just wake up every day and get your focus on God, get in His Word, learn some stuff, learn some truth, okay? So look at John chapter 17:17. How do you get sanctified? Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy Word is truth. Thy Word is truth. Sanctify them through truth. If you want to mature, if you want to know why you're not mature and you've been saved 50 years, you haven't been studying your Bible. That's all it comes down to. You haven't been focused on truth. You've been coming to church as a performance ritual. You think coming to church and sitting in your pew makes God like you more. It don't make God like you anymore. Okay, God can't love you anymore by you coming and sitting in your pew than He already loves you. Okay, He loves you because you're His child. All right, now, should you come to church? Yes, but why? Well, to worship God, get focused on God, but ultimately to hear the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God and let that preaching get in your heart and change your heart and change your mind and mature you and help you to become a mature Christian and someone that can reach out and help other people. I've heard this before, hurt people hurt people. Heal people emotionally, spiritually, okay? If someone's being mean to you and nasty to you, do you know it's because they've got something hurt in them? They've got something wrong in them. They haven't matured or something in the Lord, okay? If you'll have that understanding as a mature Christian, you'll be able to have sympathy for them. You'll be able to have grace towards them. You'll be able to have patience towards them. And so you sanctify yourself through truth. So the main reason we need to come to church is to worship the Lord, but is to listen and learn truth. Learn something. Help me to understand something about God. Help me to understand who I am, who He is, and learn His attributes and those things. And that's going to mature me. Okay? So we get sanctified in truth. Not in our self-effort. You can't just try harder, you know, and get sanctified. You get sanctified by getting focused on the Lord in truth. And then what you're going to see is if you just focus on the Lord and focus on learning truth, and a few years from now, you're going to say, you know what? I used to struggle with that, and I'm not even really tempted with that anymore. I'm just a different person. Now, you'll never be to a place where nothing can touch you, okay? But I know some people, and you know some people, that you almost think that way. You're like, I could never see Brother Tommy, you know, fallen into great sin. I can't see that. I don't think you could either. And I could name other people in here like that. I just could never see that. Now, he's capable, obviously, but he's been sanctified so much through the word and truth. And he's not I'm not saying he's untouchable, but you know what I'm saying? You get strong in the Lord, and you get your mind set on the Lord and what's right, and you stop thinking like the world, okay? And I don't want to say it gets easier, but it gets easier, okay? But it happens through truth. So here's a question: why is this so important? Okay, why is this so important that I need to know the difference between justification and sanctification? Me personally. Because I needed to know God saw me in Christ. Okay? I needed to know God saw me in Christ. Because I thought God saw me in me. And I thought every time I messed up, he got mad and he turned his back on me. And I had to earn my way back into his good graces. Okay? And there is a sense in that in the relationship. Like I explained a while ago. But positionally in Christ, I'm his child. And I always will be. Okay? And you know what a godly mom and dad does when, well, you take the prodigal son, for example. When the prodigal son went off and did his thing and asked for his inheritance early and blew it and got off in the world and did all those horrible things, he come back to the father. What was the father's attitude? Did the father say, no, you got it. Stop right there. Don't come in my yard. Nope. Get on your knees. Crawl to me. Okay, take your time, you know, hey, you got to earn your way back here. You got to prove yourself. You got to show me that you're a different person now. And then one day, well, maybe it'd take a year, might take 2 years, I don't know. Depends on what kind of mood I'm in. Some of y'all think God's moody, okay? All right, obviously that's not how he responded. In the Father's heart and mind, he longed for that child to come back the whole time. He could have come back the day after he left. His arms were wide open, facing towards him. The son come back, and he said, I'll come back as a slave. And there's so many Christians that view themselves as a slave, and we are slaves and servants of Christ, but this is a different connotation. He says, I'm going to come back. He says, the servants of my father have it better than I do in this pig pen. And he says, I'll just go back and be a servant. And the father said, no. You're not, that's not who you are. You're my child. You're in a privileged position. You're worthy. And he put the ring on his finger, shoes on his feet, and the cloak on him and all that signified, you know, that you're mine. Okay? And that's how some of us, well, all of us, we need to see that with God, that we are his, and he is ours, okay? And we have that type of relationship. So that's what, you know, why is this important? Because we need to know God's got our back. We need to know he sees us in Christ. We need to know God is for us. Are you guys for your children? Do any of you have bad intentions towards your children? No, man, you think the best for them. You want the best for them. You want them to love the Lord. You want them to be blessed by the Lord and all those things. God wants the same thing for us. He wants us to be blessed. He wants us to have a great life and a successful life. Now, his version of a successful life is a lot different than the world's version of a successful life. We know that. All right, what else? Why is this so important? Because I needed to know I don't have to earn God's love, forgiveness, acceptance, approval, and access to him. Okay? And that's what we showed up there. I needed to know that because I lived in a relationship with him for a while where I felt like that was the case, okay? And like I said a while ago, if there's a parent that is the opposite of that, who does make their children earn their love, earn their forgiveness, earn their acceptance, that child is going to have problems. And I think that's why we got so many Christians that have problems. Because they view themselves as a child whose parent makes them earn their love and acceptance and approval and all that stuff. You see what I'm saying? So we've already, I guess what I'm saying is this. Many Christians are trying to get to a place with God that they're already at. They just need to learn some truth and realize they've already got it. All these things they're trying to attain with God, you've already got it. And just that brings freedom. Truth brings makes you free. That makes you free to know I don't have to wake up every day and earn God's acceptance and approval and access and forgiveness. That brings freedom to me. I can just live out of that. I can enjoy that. Do you know that's going to make your works better? You know, many Christians are trying to use their works to earn acceptance and approval from God. But if you'll just know you've already got it, then that makes your works even better, because then you'll be doing works from a pure heart. Your motives will be pure. You'll actually want to do it. You'll actually enjoy showing up to Awana's and working instead of having to talk yourself into it because you're so daggone tired. You know, and we've all been there. But I would say if you understand something like this, it makes all those things easier. You know, ask yourself, why are you doing what you're doing? Why do you sing in the choir? Are you trying to make God love you more? Are you trying to make God accept you more? Are you trying to work and gain His approval? I hope not. I hope you're just doing those things because you already know He loves you. And you just want to love Him back. And you just want to worship Him back. You want to be a blessing to Him. You want to be a blessing to these people. You know, why do you do what you do around this church? What, you know, do you take up the offering? Do you usher? Do you know, you teach a class? What do you do? What's your motive behind it, you know? And so all that, to me, that is why this doctrine matters so much. And I would just hope and pray, if you've never really studied it out, do it. Because I can't, you know, me just sitting up here one night and putting it out there to you, it might get your taste bud a little bit and get you interested in it, but really it's got to be a revelation that the Lord gives you through His Word. You know what I'm saying? And it took me probably a year or two learning this kind of stuff and just learning how it practically applied to me each and every day. And so I hope it was a blessing to you. I don't know how long I've gone. Is time up? Brother GW, is time up yet? Time's up. All right. Time's up. All right. Well, thank you for being here. I know it wasn't a mean sermon. I felt like last time I preached, I was a little mean. So I want to be nice tonight. I love preaching stuff like this. Because, you know, the gospel is the good news. It's fun telling people the good news. What's the good news? You don't have to answer for your sin. Okay? And I'm not trying to shock you on that. But Christ paid the penalty on the cross. You can get saved. You can go to heaven. Okay? Now, let me clarify. You do pay the consequences for your choices. I want to make sure you know I'm not crazy. Hebrews 11, 10 or 11 or 12 talks about God disciplining His children. Okay? We get away from God and we make bad choices and we get into sin. He's going to discipline His children. But it's discipline in love. He's not excited about it. You know, your parent told you, this hurts me worse than it hurts you. I believe God's that way. God just wants us to obey and seek His face. He's not excited about having to discipline us. And if you got that view of God, that He's just standing there, He's got His belt off and He's rearing back, ready to go, I think you have a wrong view of God. Okay? And you know, you can believe anything you want to believe about God. You know, there's people out there that get a view of God from the History Channel. They get views of God from teachers and all kinds of places. And you know, sometimes we even get the wrong view of God from preachers. And it ain't done on purpose. But do you know where the purest truth is? Is right here. You studying this book will tell you exactly who God is. All right. Thank you very much.